Welcome to
Got Your Milk!
FX is the Strain Podcast. My name's Bubba, and with me, as always, is Mork. Mork, why don't you tell everybody where we are?
We are here live at the officially 2015 The Strain on FX Emmy Party.
If you guys can hear us over the crowds of people here watching,
it is chaos.
Everybody's so excited about who's going to be, you know, best supporting Strigoi.
I've got a feeling, and spoiler alert, I've got a feeling who's going to win best handkerchief tonight, guys. I'm pretty sure I know who's going to win.
Okay, well, don't spoil it, because if it's spoiled, you know, it won't be any good. But there is somebody here who got to vote on Emmy winners, and it's our wonderful, our host, Catfish, for the party. Catfish, how you doing?
I'm doing great. There's nothing I'd rather be doing on Emmy night than watching The Strain.
It's appropriate. It's appropriate. Your tuxedo is amazing. Your hair looks perfect. Your makeup's splendid.
Man, I'd like to thank the Academy for not nominating The Strain and making this party kind of empty. It feels like we're the only ones here.
No, that's not true. That's not true. No, we are in the VIP of the VIP of the VIP. So it is, you know, somewhat special. We're not alone.
We got a great tweet from a member of Strigoi Team 7. That's Romy134, who's at the Kindly Boy. And at the Kindly Boy tweeted out, he said, "There's a lot of temptation tonight to watch the Emmys or the NFL. Luckily for everyone, the three co-hosts of Got Your Milk are far more dependable than F for the double L's."
Double L's?
Double what?
Loyal listeners.
Oh, yeah.
That's right, listeners. We here at the Double P Podcast Network could have enjoyed the Emmys, the NFL. Actually, we could have just stared at the TV off, but we watched The Strain instead. We are going to present to you folks something that I happen to like to call an awesome human cocktail of podcasting. It's going to be great. So we begin every episode by getting right to it, by jumping in and giving a rating out of 10. Let's hear it. Mork, I'm looking at you. You were silent during most of the episode. What are you going to give this episode of The Strain?
Well, a lot of our double L's will remember what my rating was last week. This week, my rating is a strong 7 staircases with that are bricked up staircases. Did that come out as smoothly as I hoped? Thank you.
It did. That is one higher than last week's, which you gave a 6 to.
Yep.
So what without spoiling everything, what boosted it that extra point?
Well, I think what we had here is something that we all crave, and that's storylinings coming together. And that actually happened in the most rudimentary fashion, but it was fun to see.
Okay. Catfish, you're up. What do you give to Season 2, Episode 11, Dead End?
I gave last week's episode a 5. I'm going to give this week's episode 6 fresh slices of pineapple.
Ooh, that's
so
pineapple.
You also went up this week. So what was the improvement? Let's hear your thoughts.
I was playing Plants vs. Zombies 2 throughout most of the episodes, so that made it more entertaining.
Wait, time out. As the host of our Emmy party, our 2015 Emmy party, to make sure that we're differentiating from our 2014 The Strain on FX Emmy party.
I just wanted to relax before the party really popped off.
Okay, all right, touche.
All right, everybody knows I am the toughest critic.
You are.
That is what you claim every week.
And so I would ask you guys, how many people were hung at the end of the episode? How many people had the Nazis killed at the end of the episode?
I mean, in the episode, like on camera, or just at
Do we include Fett?
Yeah.
No. So how many people were found hanging in the village?
And that has nothing. Let's be real clear. Our friends at Geek Girl Soup, that does not. They care about the substance of a man.
Oh, no.
Not those external factors.
That's right. So how many people were seen hanging at the end of the episode?
I believe it was 2.
No, I think it was 4. It was the family.
All right. So I'm going to give this episode 24 out of 10. 24, what I like to call double D's out of 10.
What? Double D's?
Double D's.
Yeah, it's just like the shampoo I'm using. Desire and despair.
Oh.
It's the scent of the shampoo that makes the shampoo.
I thought you were going to say that the double D's were Dutch doubles, since we all thought that his paramour back then had a little bit of a resemblance to
Helga
Dutch.
Helga had a little thing going on.
Oh, her name was Helga. That's good to know.
Yeah, it was Helga. Trust me, it's going to come in handy for next week's episode.
Okay, so...
Or next year.
Folks, we always tell you to... Go to Twitter and tweet out with the hashtag GotYourMilk or GotYourMilkPodcast, or visit our Facebook fan page, which is at facebook.com/DoublePodcast, and tell us what you thought of the episode. And you can become a member of Strigoi Team 7. That's the leaders of the fight of the good kind of Strigoi against the bad kind of Strigoi. And we have a great new review on iTunes and a new member of Strigoi Team 7. Let's go to Catfish for this wonderful new member.
Hey, before that, I'd like to clear something up that we all missed last week.
Yeah.
As Judd and I were listening to the podcast over again, I realized me and Mork.
Oh.
As Mork and I were listening to the podcast, right. I realized Dad Z's tweet about what was going to happen with F, with cocaine and prostitutes, was a direct comment about exactly what happened to him, his downfall on the House of Cards. We all missed that last week, so I want to pick that up and clean it up.
Well, as I said it once, I'll say it again. Dad Z is a bit of a show-off.
Well, and he pays more attention than we do.
Well, look, I can't tell you how much attention that
right.
I pay.
All right, here we go. The name of this week, the title of this week's review is called Yes, Please.
Oh, thank you.
It's by Havail.
Ooh, welcome new Strigoi Team 7 member, Hervail.
And that's 5 stars.
Whoa!
It says, snarky, self-satisfied, and awesome.
Are they talking about F?
Well, the first two describe you, Bubba.
Hey. Yeah.
And then the last ones describe us.
Hey.
I have no interest in watching the strain, and thanks to what I imagine are amazingly accurate reenactments, I don't ever have to subject myself to it. Big fan of the Joffrey podcast. Happy to have some fun banter to listen to help me through the workday during the Game of Thrones off-season. Thank you, Havail.
Havail. Now, I do have to say, we've heard this from a couple of Strigoi Team 7 members. I really don't think it's great for us to market Got Your Milk podcast as the best podcast for people who don't watch The Strain about The Strain.
Wait, I thought season's two motto of our podcast was, we watch so you don't have to.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's a better marketing ploy. Boy, who would say we were snarky at all?
I don't know where
this
they
guy
get
called
that
us. This guy called us triple S, snarky, self-satisfied. Okay. But you could also be a member of Strigoi Team 7 by tweeting out, like I said before, hashtag GotYourMilk or GotYourMilkPodcast. And we had some great tweets this week from...
Who else? Who gave us some tweets?
From all the usual suspects. Of course, we have Court, who's at Genndeveve. And I want to spell this out. It's J-E-N-N-D-E-V-E.
Yeah, I want to correct you. I think it's just Genndeveve. You're throwing in an extra ev in there.
Well, you know, it's like Camelot.
It's... Anybody want to hear my zoo joke again? Anybody want?
No? Oh, callback.
Okay. All right. And so, Genndeveve, okay, you like it that way better?
I do.
She said that Eichhorst is going to put his what where?
Yeah.
The strain is crazy ass Strigoi. And maybe that's where he was going to put his tongue worm. Holy smokes.
Holy cow.
Romy134 tweeted out, actually felt bad for poor man's Christoph Waltz. For about 30 seconds, then pineapples, ... Oh, so they didn't feel it too good. And so Geek Girl Soup, they said they couldn't watch tonight's episode because they were in a place without cable. And they said, thankfully, they'll miss having to sit through a Palmer Coco love scene.
Well, okay.
There's no Palmer, no Coco tonight.
A shiver,
oh,
a
so
shiver
terrible.
A shiver just ran down my spine. Now... Geek Girl Soup could very well be in a place that no longer has cable. They could have just cut the cord.
Right.
And could they be implying that they're going to stop watching this amazing show?
I don't think so, because no. Genndeveve also tweeted out, is pineapple a euphemism for something else in Eichhorst world?
No, I mean, it was an actual pineapple. He wasn't saying, I'm going to chop up a pineapple and feed it to you. He wanted
his vitamin C.
That is true.
We see the way he gets his nutrients.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Gin and juice.
Right. Everybody loves infused vodka, so he gave the first guy So, hey, you know what? It is time for our UV lights. That's AKA our favorite scenes of the episodes and our spoiled slash spilt milk scenes. The scenes in the episodes we wish could have been better. Why don't we start off with you, Catfish? Do you have a favorite UV light scene in tonight's episode from an episode entitled, appropriately, Dead End?
My favorite scene, I guess, is the scene that I'm going to say I disliked the least.
What was that?
That would be the scene when I actually felt real danger for Dutch. I was squeamish because I go and see horror movies and see movies that have adult content, but when he was like getting her to bend over, that was a squeamish and weird and not as disturbing as the thought of Coco and Palmer having sex, but close.
Yeah, do you think?
And then
Coco?
She turned around and she went off on him. I thought she was going to shoot him. She sprayed him. I thought that was a cool scene. Very brief, but cool.
I enjoyed it as well.
How about your UV light scene, Mork?
My UV light scene, and I this not nearly as exciting, but it actually was the one that I enjoyed the most, is when they're driving back in the bread truck, and we got Dutch, and we got Fett, and we got F and Nor in the front seat, and there's no words spoken. They're just looking at each other. They just made it through this little adventure. It felt like tonight something was actually at stake, whether it was Fett's heart, because Dutch might have died, or Dutch's life, or whatever. It felt like things were actually at stake, and they had a small victory.
So I just want to clarify this. You liked it when they were all together, and no one was saying any horrible dialogue.
Well, there was no...
Hey, now!
They weren't saying... Hey, there was no need. There was no need to say anything. Everyone just gave each other a little look.
Sure.
I think F and Nora are coming back.
All right.
And, that was...
Do you think F and Nora are through with their problems? You know, He was down there and four people died. Do you remember the four?
Yeah, and Sandra. And...
I remember that of the four people, one of them had a little death before their actual death. So,
do we know
Le
that?
Petit Mort. We're not sure. Yeah. Let's just give them the benefit of the doubt.
That's a pretty nice benefit.
All right, so why don't I get to my UV light scene of the episode? So we have the Dutch bending over scene is yours, Catfish. And, of course, we have that silent, our heroes reflect moment in the bread truck was yours, Mork. But I think I have a scene that combines the edge of your seat tenseness, edge of your seat tenseness of
no
a girl
snark.
Of a girl bending
no
over
coming.
In front of a tongue worm dude and the reflection of a bread truck driving away to safety. This scene, when you ask me what I want from The Strain.
What do you want from The Strain?
History. And we learned a lot today about an important period in time.
Yes.
That is when the Mayflower Hotel was built in its history. Well, I was real worried.
If you're going to...
I was real worried. I mean, I have learned so much about the theater Boulevard bought and this thing and that thing. And now, finally, I know the history of the Mayflower Hotel. Admittedly, it was across two scenes.
It was actually the Mayfield Hotel, but I agree with you, and I can't tell
you...
It was
so thrilling.
I can't tell you how much sense it makes for... Vasily Fett, who to tell us all about with he's got
oh
somewhat
my
of
Lord.
A he's got a perfectly clear accent, and yet he's the one who does all the exposition.
That's Vasily Fett's job on this show is to give us history that no one on the show cares
he
about.
Could have been an architect.
But it helps us become sympathetic to the people on the show who are listening to something that they don't want to hear that we also don't want to hear.
It was so tense. I was like, wait a minute.
All right.
Wait a minute. Was the hotel built before or after the sub? Oh, now I know.
I'm
Thank
starting.
You. Stupid bullshit.
I think we need to have Bubba step away from the mic. He needs a moment. So I'm just going to lead for a second here.
Yeah,
we'll give him a moment. All right, so Mork,
yes,
how about your spoiled milk scene of the night? Let's go into that next.
Maybe
Bubba will be recovered by the time we're done.
Maybe. I would say spoiled milk. He needs a hug. Someone needs to go give him a hug. Can someone here at the Emmy party please give him a hug? I know it's early in the night, but please. The you know Rudyard, Nebrescu, the book thief,
right?
Any scene he was in, I thought was just ridiculous.
Well, I thought it was interesting because we think that he's going to bring it to Palmer,
and it's going to take him a long time. It's going to take him at least 24 hours.
He's in that
hours.
Cab for, I don't know how much that cab cost him.
Do they not have Uber?
He was in that.
Arstragoy
he was
allowed,
in it for a long time.
Arstragoy allowed to drive
Uber? He was in it for a long time.
That's the question.
I am going to say, and I hate to steal the thunder from Bubba, because no. Every time this scene came up, he was basically crawling on the ceiling. Yep. But I'm going to say it was not really vital to the story to have any more background on poor man's Christoph Waltz. I think we got it, right? We got that he is creepy and wrong. And did we need to hate him anymore? I'll or did honest. Anything that we found out tonight help? Like,
I don't think it's notable that what happened in his little love shack tonight. You know, we're 2 years into, well, you're, you know, almost 2 full years into the show.
Correct.
And only now did poor man's Christoph Waltz truly creep me out this evening.
You weren't creeped out by him. Okay.
Yeah. This was a varsity level of creepiness.
But did you? Okay.
This
so you
Coco.
You felt that helped him become creepier. The backstory.
Oh, not the backstory. No.
Okay, no, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking specifically
previous.
About the backstory. I'm talking about any time we had a flashback, which, by the way, Bubba called about 30 seconds before it happened, and then he was so thrilled when it actually came true.
That is true.
I'm going to pass it right on over. I think Bubba has recovered.
Bubba, have you collected yourself?
Well, I would say this gets to a debatable topic. Ba-dum-bum-ba-dum. Strigoi, Palmer and Eichhorst.
And?
Making Strigoi great again in 2016. I would say it gets to a debatable issue. I say it would get to a debatable issue. And I saw people debating this on Twitter. They're all like, right. Well, why is Kelly, the mother formerly known as Lovely Kelly, sad that her son, Zach, mm-hmm. 2.0, is not with her anymore? He's with F. And they were like, isn't she really a monster now? Or is she now, has the master given her access to her feelings? And people said, no, what the master did was he let this monster be able to read Kelly's old feelings like you would read a book. And so it was still like, well, then why is she crying? And so are we supposed to believe that Eichhorst, who they keep saying, aren't you upset that the master chose Bolivar as a vessel instead of you? Are we supposed to believe that Eichhorst, are we supposed to believe that Eichhorst has feelings still? That he somehow, that this shampoo scent did send him back into because if he is just a monster, then this really served no point.
Now, see, I had always assumed that even when the people came back, that there was still a part of them in it. It wasn't just that someone was inhabiting their body mm-hmm. and accessing their feelings.
Right.
Part of them had come back. It had just like irrevocably twisted them, so they could still have the feelings. And now Eichhorst is not all the way dead, right? He's taken the white, really, hasn't he? I mean, or has he?
No,
has he been dead?
Him, we've seen him sans
yeah, but,
face.
But it's because the white doesn't totally clear up everything, except for Satrakian. But I mean, it hasn't helped Satrakian. It hasn't made him younger. He's just sort of maintaining.
I happen to know what Abraham Satrakian looks like without any pants.
Okay, so you think he's dead, but he's still an upper level. And to say, kind of to go to your point, I do think that he still has access to his feelings. I just don't think that going back to see his feelings is really helping in any way.
Well, the story, I mean, the weird thing about that whole storyline was, now, I loved being able to see what.
Yes.
You know, never in my life did I think I would be able to say the phrase "Glengarry Glen Auschwitz," but we saw that tonight, which is absurd and ridiculous.
The first one who sells the most radios gets a new Mercedes Benz. Second to pair
we
of steak
haven't invented
knives.
Mercedes-Benz yet.
Number three becomes the Ubermensch.
There was so he's got this horrible job selling radios door
right.
to door, and
sure.
We've all done that, right? We've all done that.
Yeah, I was going to say, which is worse, being a Strigoi or being a door to door salesman? Which destroys your soul more? But you know what, Mark? I'm going to hold off on this discussion if it's okay. So it's time for my spilt milk scene, my spoiled milk scene. Now, everybody knows that I love details. Candy. I love candy. Bubblegum and taffy. Get my way, punk. You're going to get your ass beat. Nasty. Ooh. Beating your whole family in front of your whole family just because you came between a kid and a candy. I need any candy. I don't care if it's nutritious or FDA approved. It's going to make me spaz like bobcats on booze. A hyperactive juice that only I can produce and use a giant drill to bore straight into hell. Release the ancient demons from the sleep for FSL so I can bark upon the earth and get resituated and hawk the diet pills MC B-Pants has created. I need candy. All right, so that's that Aqua Teen Hunger Force throwback right there, everybody. Okay, so anyway, my spilt milk scene of the episode.
That was beautiful.
Everybody knows that I love details, and I love it when we learn more. So when they spent a good 2 minutes explaining Helga's history as how she wanted to work in the symphony, I was on the edge of my seat. Mm-hmm, but right when I was about to find out if she wrote plays at Boston College, they cut away to a Nazi giving a speech. How could they?
What I learned from this was that basically the World War II and all of National Socialism was really just a club promotion.
Oh.
Is what I'm learning. That's what I've learned. All this could have been avoided.
Well, I just want you to know, Bubba, yeah. The great thing about this is there's more flashbacks to come. I think you might end up learning the answer to your question at some point.
Great. All right, so we've gone over our spilt milk. We've gone over our UV light scenes. So we're going to do something that Team Captain Mork came up with, is we're going to break down these storylines, and each person's going to get a storyline to take. So, Mork, it feels like you want to take the flashback storyline. Is that correct?
Or I just want to take the previously on.
No, Mork. You've got to take the – which storyline do you want? Come on. Let's man up.
All right. I will man up. Okay. So, I'll do the flashback.
All right. So, take us through the flashback,
okay.
Mork.
So, we flash back in time, and all of a sudden, there's so much more color in poor man Christoph Waltz's face and lips and clothes. And
his hair's always been an odd color, but this time it was more like a nut brown.
Oh, yeah. To quote whoever sang Werewolf of London, his hair was perfect. And so he's having a rough day. He's trying to sell a radio. It only costs 2 marks a month, which actually sounds like a pretty good deal.
It is, unless your job at the factory is going away, Mork.
Well, there's layoffs, but those take time. There's always severance packages. I mean, 2 marks. What's the big deal? Anyway, so he fails. He shuffles back to the office. He's humiliated. He's emasculated. But lovely Helga, who I believe was now friendly double L's, tell me, have you ever seen Helga and Dutch in the same room? I think not. I think they're played by distant cousins.
Now, let's be very clear about this.
Yeah.
He makes it clear... Poor man's Christoph Waltz makes it clear. I was expecting a totally different flashback, considering the way he presented that situation was pretty much like he didn't have a chance at it. He was the one who was shut down. Do you feel like the flashback that you enjoyed the unreliable narrator part of that?
It
doesn't really feel
it.
Like he was just he didn't have a chance. He had a chance.
He had a couple of moments.
She believed in him, even though he was a capital L loser.
He had See, this is where you and I differ. Because I don't think when the brown shirt Nazi stood up on the table and started, you know, cheering people on and talking about the amazing Reich that was going to
right,
come.
The record club.
The record club and all that. I think, you know, where Helga said, let's get out of here, I think when Ikor said, no, let's stay and listen, this guy's great, I think what he was saying was, not so easy, young lady, I'm going to play hard to get. So I think he was just trying to be a cool dude and not be such a pushover to Helga.
Mork, were you at all shocked that Helga was Jewish? Because it felt like that was started being telegraphed like a mile away.
I can't say.
Or excuse me.
A kilometer.
Right, this is Germany. It was a kilometer on the Autobahn
on the Autobahn
way. This was, yeah.
Yeah, no, I sort of felt it coming. He has an opportunity to get this girl. He then spurns the girl. Then she runs away from him because he's a monster. He tries to cut for it. Doesn't work. Then we jump forward 6-9 months, whatever it was, a couple of years. Eichhorst has risen up in the ranks a little bit. He's got the cool outfit. He's got the, you know, SS Death's Head on his little cap. He goes into the office. He sees the girl, Helga. She's crying. She's going to be deported, which there are worse things to happen to somebody in Nazi Germany than be deported. She doesn't want to do it. He helps. He says, no, she's a thief. He turns the corner. Boom, she's dead. And this is a moment where if that was my true love, I probably wouldn't continue to serve that regime that put me in that position where I had to be okay with that and flick a cigarette at her.
I don't want to bring logic too much into this, but don't you think he could have? It seemed like he was kind of in charge there. He could have taken her away. And use some excuse. She's right. The one I need to take her away. And then he could have taken her away and saved her or done whatever. So in that situation, he kind of shows himself to still be weak.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little, it seems like if he was going to stick with, being a goddamn Nazi, then he would have, if the reason he had to do that was because he had saved this Jewish girl and her family and he was covering, okay, fine, that actually tracks. But this just didn't track at all, and, it was...
Well, I mean, I think what I'm saying is, now that I think about it further, that it just shows how weak he is because he can't even come up with a way to try to save her. You know, he could have bluffed his way through that situation and saved her.
Well, sure.
But he was still too weak to do it.
Right, but then why would he even be thinking about it after all these years,
Well, because obviously she was the Jew that got away.
The first. And actually, she didn't really get away.
But he means with love. She was the old Jew. She's the Jew that got away. Oh, and then she did not get away.
So I guess in Eichhorst's heart, she lived for much longer and she actually didn't die and she's free. So
no,
she
but
wins.
I mean, at that point, he's she's the, she's the love of my life.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
Does this mean, because I think we can all agree, poor man's Christoph Waltz, Eichhorst, this is before he met the master, correct?
Yes.
So does this mean that he's got to live a while so we can see the moment via flashback when he met the master and he became his underling? I'm going to assume in Satrakian's flashback, where Eichhorst worked there at the concentration camp, that Eichhorst maybe wasn't fully turned, because I almost want to say he was out in the sunlight then. I'm a bit confused on that. But
right.
Well, if you think you're gonna see that, then obviously you think you're gonna see it in the next two episodes, or you are gonna change your mind about whether Satrakian dies or not.
Okay. Yeah. No. I want to change my mind. I want to not think about it. So.
All right, change your mind, but don't think about it.
Wait a minute. So do you, I want to hear from you guys. I also want to hear from listeners. So do you think that because it was more about his ego and then he got shot down by a girl, remember he got shot down by his boss and then he saw his boss with him in the uniform and his boss was like, hey, good to see you. Was Eichhorst's real problem that his just ego needed to be stroked?
Well, yeah, and also that he was still weak because, I thought when he flicked the cigarette, I was like, oh, this is so ugly. And then he turns and you see that he was doing that as a show for the other guys and that right. He's kind of shaken by seeing her die. He probably assumed, yeah, she was just going to get deported. But, of course, that makes it a little difficult when you tell some crazy story about someone being a thief. Sure, they'll be deported.
Just because I told a small story about you in Mexico, let's not bring that up now, okay, Catfish?
Yeah, si se puente. All right, listeners, I want to know what you think. I want you to go to the Double P Podcast Facebook page and write us there or tweet at us with the hashtag GotYourMilk or GotYourMilkPodcast. Do you think Eichhorst's past, we've debated a bit here. Do you think Eichhorst's past and that he actually had feelings and that he at least could have crushes on people and that kind of stuff, is it important? The way you can tweet at us individually is if you want to tweet at Mork, tweet to
Extraordinary. It's extraordinary with the W in front of the last R.
And that W stands for wonderful. You can hit me up at CJGman67. I'm one better than CJGman66.
Oh.
In your face.
Or worse.
Heck yeah. And you can reach me, Bubba. You can find me on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's F-I-T-T-E-N-T-R-I-M. At Fit and Trim on Twitter. I'm just 33, followers away from 500.
Hey,
so since last week, I've gotten two, apparently.
All right. So
a net of positive two. Thank you so much, Double L's. Thank you so much, Sturgoy Team 7. We love you so much.
Now, okay, point of order. I just want to put a brief pause in the proceedings here. As there is no more Sturgoy Team 6, can we promote Sturgoy Team 7 just a little bit?
I think it's bad luck to make them Sturgoy Team 6.
How about Sturgoy Team 5?
Just bury the name
Sturgoy
Team 6 with Sturgoy Team 6.
Right, you saw how they went out. I wouldn't want our listeners to go out so non-eventful to the plot.
No, you can't. There's already a Sturgoy Team 5, okay? They also went the same way as Sturgoy Team 6.
All right, okay? Okay.
7, our listeners, they're going to stay strong because they're going to hide in the shadows.
Double L.
Is there anything else you want to take us through on the flashback, Mork? Did you think it was poignant? Did you feel for Eichhorst at all?
No. The only time I felt for Eichhorst was when he didn't get the mortal coil of the Master.
All right, fair enough. All right, so I will take us through our next storyline, and it has to be the most thrilling storyline of them all. I'm, of course, going to bring us all to a delicious dinner at Tandoori Palace.
Ooh.
It is something that, we've been waiting 2 episodes to see the thrills of what was happening with, hey, bruh, it's me, Gus, and, of course, I don't do anything, Silver Angel. And, of course, apparently now it's 3 episodes in a row I haven't been in Strabone. So we take you back to the upstairs of the Gupta's family residence where a lovely, lovely Anya is looking through photos. Apparently the last 2 days they've just been packing for their trip out of the quarantine zone. And she sees Gus and she's like, Gus, you're not coming with us? And he was like, nah, bruh, nah. And so, of course, suddenly she is trying to flirt with him, trying to seduce him, trying to get this sexy man to come with her out of the quarantine zone. And pretty soon he is giving Anya a different type of tongue worm. Oh, I went there.
Bam.
And so after the King of Kings got lucky, sure enough, they all got into the station wagon to get out of town. But guess who didn't want to leave? Who wanted to stay and fight? The Silver Angel.
Oh, the Silver Angel.
And
yeah,
I think
sure. You
said, because you're like, who? Because he really hasn't done much. For someone who's been introduced, he has done jack squat.
No, but that was a nice moment that they paid back because the Silver Angel never wanted to admit he was a Silver Angel. Plus, there was that, you know, obviously they set it up to have this rapprochement, but there was the crazy between Gus and the Silver Angel. There was this crazy antagonism as if they'd had a previous beef even though they'd never met. So there was a nice moment with the, who is that? And you knew he was going to say it, but it was still satisfying. This is the Silver Angel.
That was great.
Yeah, that was nice. But for me, the scene really ended after they all took a selfie in the kitchen.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful.
So they pull up to the security gate there in the Bronx.
Yeah.
And sure enough, they're not going to be let through. How in the world are they going to get through when who pulls up behind them? And I was like, who was this? I had
Grace
no
Jones.
Idea.
It was Grace Jones.
No, it wasn't.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Grace
she's 5,000 I swear to God, because I heard in the background, I swear to God, she rolled down the window and I heard this. Warm leatherette.
No, sure enough, it's the sexy female assistant to Strabone Quinlan, who apparently has enough pull with the U.S. government that she can get the Guptas through.
Well, was she? It looked like she was actually just paying him off.
Uh-huh. Are you saying our soldiers can be bought?
Only in the Bronx, yeah.
Please.
Hello, how do you think my family got into this country?
Dear Lord.
From Montreal.
Respect America.
Via Brazil.
All right, so sure enough,
the Antarctica.
Anya gives a goodbye kiss to Gus. It was like a kiss that said, miss you, bruh. Then they drive through, and you think they're gone for good, but the car stops like feet the gate.
I'd like to do a reenactment of what Mr. and Mrs. Gupta were talking about while Anya was upstairs with Gus.
All right, certainly. So we bring you downstairs to the Tandoori Palace, and I'm sure this won't be the most offensive accents you will hear tonight.
I was going to say, I think just so it's offensive, just in a slightly different way, whatever part I'm going to do, I'm going to do it as if they're Indian Irish.
Okay, all right, fair
enough. All right, so we take you there to the Tandoori Palace. Honey, what is that creaking going on upstairs?
Well, I think that our daughter is selling her punani so that we can leave.
Honey, How could you? How could you do that, honey? You raised a girl who's having relations before marriage. And she's not even charging takeout prices for her punani.
Well, I will say this. If he was the prince of princes, maybe not. But we all know he's the king of kings. So look, do you want to leave or not?
Now, I just have to just say for a moment, I've seen very closely how much care that Mr. and Mrs. Gupta put into caring for their hearing aids, replacing batteries. So I didn't think they would actually hear anything going on from upstairs.
Oh, boy.
So sometimes with the reenactments, they change your whole perception.
She told me. She said before she went upstairs, Netflix and chill.
Wait, what?
Netflix and chill. Look it up. It's a thing with the kids.
Honey, listen to me. If there's one thing I know, it's that she's getting that to go. You know what I mean? Like most wonderful dishes here at the Tandoori Palace, open all throughout the quarantine, 24/7. Delivery, just a $50 surcharge. Please visit Gupta's Family Tandoori Palace. Please, please, please. And scene. Okay.
That was amazing, guys.
Boy, there'll be no editing tonight, Dave.
Amazing.
I don't know why you would edit that. Unless by that you meant to edit it to replace the original scene in the show with that scene that we just did.
Well, I think we're making some assumptions here, guys, and I don't think that's cool, especially in almost an election year.
All right. Okay.
We don't actually know that they consummated the act. I'm just saying.
Good point. They could have just taken off their clothes and gotten underneath a blanket and gone to sleep. That's my move. All right, so, you know what?
Also known as
Listen to me. The Silver Angel said he wanted to fight.
Yes.
And Gus made the Silver Angel promise to get the Guptas to safety.
He did.
And sure enough, when the car stopped 6 feet past the gate and outside the
quarantine zone. I thought it broke down.
Yeah, I would have been like this. Brah, that ain't safety.
Apparently not.
Oh, sorry.
Brah, that ain't a safety.
Apparently not, but the Silver Angel came back, and Gus, you know what, he was like, all right, man. So they get in the car with Strabone, Quinlan's assistant, and they head off to actually do something. Have they done anything all season? It feels like the answer is no,
but there are only
two episodes. There's only one episode left before the season finale, so let's see what they can do.
They did deliver some takeout once.
Let's go to our next story, and it's, of course, Cetrachian, this octodoluminous is the only thing that matters, and Rudyard the bookseller with a burnt ear. And to lead us through that is Brother Catfish.
Well, what is amazing is we have been looking for this darn book forever.
Yes.
It's been a while.
And as soon as Cetrachian finds it, he gets bonked over the head.
Hmm.
The guy wakes up, and it's right there in front of him.
Sure.
It's like what was happening with Eichhorst and Dutch. It was like dinner was right there, and he was slavering over the book.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, he has to have a discussion with the guy, and he has to make very generic statements like, the fate of the world is in danger, instead of, if we use this book, all those people who are doing tongue worms, we can kill them, then you don't need to worry about your safety. Plus, I will give you a buttload of money. So he just kind of says generic things to him. So the guy's like, screw you, I'm out of here.
Catfish, that can't be all of the story. There's got to be more.
Well, there is more to the story.
Oh, really?
I thought you wanted to add some to that part. The rest of the story is he takes it to Marlo Stanfield from The Wire.
Marlo.
That was the one thing that was kind of interesting here. I thought he was going to take it right to Palmer. I don't know how Marlo Stansfield, who said earlier in the series something like, yeah, man, I know me some shit about tomes. And that's not being racist. That's the way they're having him perform.
Right. And Rudyard said that he found out about Marlo from the Cardinal. How does this hustler have a deal with the Cardinal? Guess what? Don't ask. It's not important. And so where do we leave this story?
Yeah, because the Cardinal is dead.
Hey, now. So where does this leave us? What do you guys expect for the dang book we've been looking for all season long over the next two episodes.
Well, this is what I want to know. Do you think that is now, you know, Marlowe going to put it up for bidding and see if he can get the highest bid? I mean, whatever. This guy's going to get screwed because he could have sold it directly to Satrakian for probably a bunch of money, and now Marlowe's going to get his taste.
Yeah, no. He made a deal a while back with Strigoi Team 6. Like, I think he's definitely...
Was it with Strigoi Team 6 or Satrakian that he made that deal with?
On the docks. The docks is with Team 6.
No. If Satrakian came to him, remember, because Satrakian... Oh, no, you weren't here then. Satrakian came to him and said, I want the book. And they, Marlow Stansfield's two gunmen held a gun up to him. And then Satrakian super fast held his knife up to Marlow Stansfield's head. And then Marlow said, drop your guns. And as soon as they dropped their guns, Satrakian put his weapon down. And then the other two guys were like, okay, we'll keep our guns dropped instead of... All right, now that our guy's not in trouble, we'll just blow this old fool away. So it's the Satrakian who came and was looking for it.
What was the history. And let's not look back. Let's look forward. What's going to happen with Akito Lumen?
Anti-flashback.
They say the book is cursed. What's going to happen? Who's going to hold this book at the end of season two? I want your predictions. Mork, you're first. Who holds it at the end of the season?
Zach 2.0.
Now that is not going to happen. Catfish.
Well, before that, let me ask you another question, because we know what Satrakian wants to do with it. What do you think Palmer really wants to do with it?
Palmer's going to give it to the master, who would burn it. So I don't see how you could possibly do that, despite how this show doesn't pay anything off. So I think somehow the Ancient Ones, a.k.a., quote-unquote, the good guys, are going to have the book at the end of the season.
But you don't think that Palmer is looking for it so that he can get a little bit more leverage over the master?
Yeah.
You think he's just going to give it away?
I think it's a backup plan.
Okay. I don't see it, but then I also don't see why you need the book. You know, it's like, it'll teach us how to kill the master. As I've joked before, can't you just cut off his head? Wouldn't that really kill him? Do we need a book to tell us when we had him laying down in the sunlight, Satrakian, if you hadn't been monologuing at the end of season one and instead driven your friggin' sword you've been carrying all this time through his heart, that would have killed him? Do we need this book? I don't think so. I think it'll end up in the good guy's hands. I think the quote-unquote way to defeat him will be some kind of mumbo-jumbo prophecy, which will take two seasons to comprehend. And so I think the good guys have the Akito Lumen. That's my story. That's my prediction.
Okay, but I think that it's funny that you mentioned that, because they did have one problem, and that was light did not kill him.
Right.
Light hurt him, but it didn't kill him. I mean, light hurt him enough so that he had to get a new body. But you're right. The problem, it's funny that they focus on this book, because the problem so far hasn't been how to kill him. The problem has been, how the hell do we find him?
Right. And
maybe the Akito Lumen has like directions. Here, mix up a pot. He'll smell it. He'll come. He wants
it. What if it's something, dare I say it, like this will call him? What if that's it? You know, like he always has to come if you play the flute, if if the Pied Piper. Like maybe that's it. And of course, I really think I'm giving this too much thought. Listeners, we have not read these books. And so you can try to spoil us, but we probably wouldn't figure it out either way. We would think you were joking. I want to know, listeners, what do you think? Where do you think the Akito Lumen will end up at the end of the season? Go to facebook.com/doublepodcast and let us know. Is that it? Any other things you guys want to say about Akito Lumen before we get to the final storyline of the evening?
No. I didn't want to say anything about it in the first place.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
All right. So Satrakian got away, and now let's go to the present day. We've got Dutch chained up in the slowest cranking chain you ever saw.
He's been cranking it the whole week between last week and this week. And I believe we called that in our wonderful reconstruction, our reenactment last week.
So now let's just get to it. It starts off with some wonderful menace. Dutch asks him, what are you going to do to me? And what does poor man's Christoph Waltz say?
Everything.
Excellent. Then we go to the new opening. We go to the credits we've had since the beginning. I don't know why we'll never see those credits. We saw them one episode. We'll never see them again. And then poor man's Christoph Waltz do Alstergoy like torturing and kind of mental torture? He's like, you enjoy being looked at. You're wearing perfume. That's, I don't wear perfume. Oh, no, but it's your shampoo. It reminds me of desire and despair. I know, right?
Gee, your hair smells terrific.
And so sure enough...
That's for the younger listeners.
And so sure enough, he brings in a policeman, theoretically the policeman who brought Dutch to him, and he kills this policeman with his tongue worm. And I was very impressed. He wanted a buzz, and I was very impressed with his tongue. He's got like one of the best tongue worms there is.
But it came out of his mouth and not his neck.
Yeah. Why are you? Have you ever seen a tongue worm come out of somebody's neck? I haven't. I always see it come out of their mouth.
No, they got.
I thought the tongue worm came out of the neck. That's why they've they've all got the weird neck shrivels.
Right. That's where it kind of. That's part of the places where it skulls up. You know, it has to shoot out, so the excess wormage rolls up in the neck. But then it always is come. I've never seen it come out of somebody's non-mouth.
For the little guys, yeah. But I'm pretty sure before it came out of. You know,
I don't think so. It's always been out of the mouth. I think it's always been out of the mouth. Either way, he has a great tongue worm, is what I'm saying right now. I'm saying...
Yeah, it's extra thick and lush.
Mm.
Right.
It's beautiful.
And so then one of the things we know about Eichhorst, as we saw when he was with the mother formerly known as Lovely Kelly, is Eichhorst loves giving makeovers. And so he gets some lipstick out, and he is putting it on Dutch. He's putting the lipstick on his girl.
You know what? I think in a nod to the show Transparent, it feels like when he's like showing her how to combine the lipstick together that really he wants to put it on himself, but he still doesn't have the courage.
That's definitely true.
All right.
That's what we learned.
And so he's decided to flavor her. So he's already got the shot of liquor from the cop he killed when he bit him. So now he's given her...
Yeah, but shouldn't he... Mork made a good point here. Don't you need to give that a little chance to get into the bloodstream? If you're doing the bloodstream, it seems to me you just got it right out of the neck.
Right. Well, okay. This is a great point. Are they sucking blood, and how long does it take alcohol to get into the blood? Let's keep drinking and find out.
Well, first of all, it's got to go through the stomach first and be absorbed by the stomach. Before it even gets anywhere close to the blood, unless you're injecting it.
That sounds like the same kind of science that scientists are doubting about global warming. I think, you know, as soon as it's in your mouth, go ahead and tongue worm them.
F would back that up.
How about this? Could poor man's Christoph Waltz drive a car after this? Or is he impaired?
I don't think so. I don't think he could drive a car, but he could definitely operate a forklift.
So if you were poor man's Christoph Waltz, would you infuse the chaser with pineapple? Like, what would you want as the chaser
to this? Pineapple is good. Fresh pineapple is interesting. It's really funny, the idea that, I mean, this is a funny idea that I wish they hit more, or it could have been funny, but the fact that for them to enjoy anything, they have to feed it to a human first.
Right.
Yeah, so yeah, that would be fun to explore.
It would have been funny if it had been more like, I love the taste of pineapple, you know, but make it more fun.
And one of our Twitter followers was saying this was a bit like Hannibal, you know, the way Hannibal liked to torture people.
The whole smelling and the thing and all that was very Lecter, Clarice Starling, yeah.
All right, and so we see that. Now, our heroes have been told... that it was the May... I'm messing this up. Is it the Mayfield, the Mayfair? Mayfield Hotel. So they go to the hotel, and they're like, wait a minute, this hotel...
Wow.
This is where the army and everybody's based.
Yeah, they wouldn't... This would be a crazy place to swap cars, but it wouldn't be that crazy to actually abduct someone to here.
Right. So for whatever reason... They look, and you guys...
No, not for whatever reason. For one very good reason,
so
my friend.
So part of the Mayfield Hotel is lit up, and then part of it is in total darkness. Are we supposed to imply that poor man's Christoph Waltz was in the darkness?
Yes.
And that to get to it, they had to go down into the subway, and that was the easiest way into the hotel?
Yeah, except when Dutch was running around as free as she could, it was completely lit.
It was completely lit, and they seem to have just you know, shut down. There was still some room service trays that were kind of hanging out.
Yeah, when she started running away, I thought, okay, this is weird. She'll be away. Yeah, it's it got shut down real quick.
It happened just, it happened overnight. Maybe it was because of our ninth president, right? Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Oh, I thought you meant Franklin Delano Mayfield.
Yes, he also was involved. He was actually our ninth president.
All right, so help me out. I-Corst, the show, when it wants to, can have him move with, like, super speed. You know, he can be a superhero darting.
I'm okay.
I will defend this.
He knew she was going to a brick wall.
Yeah, he knew there was no way for her to get out. So he was first going to wash his eyes out and then slowly walk. This is, like you said, it's the only enjoyment he has. Admittedly, it's not a great chase, but he doesn't get that much. He doesn't have really much challenges.
But before we even got
besides,
there.
Besides, when you get someone's heart pumping, et cetera, their blood tastes more
it's
delicious.
It's fresher. Yeah, did you want to talk about the pepper spray escape, Mark? What do you want to talk
absolutely,
about?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that was a huge moment. This is probably the most pain we've seen poor man's Tim Gunn in. And I was surprised.
Now, wait a minute. You say the most pain. He's been shot multiple times. Just a couple episodes, he was shot at least three times.
And what did he do? He just was like...
Yeah, he shook it off.
He shook it off and jumped, you know, he jumped
two
what, story, 70
at
feet.
At least, yeah, down. Yeah.
And he was totally fine. So this, he's writhing on the ground. He's completely defenseless. She's right there. She's killed how many Strigoi at this point? I think she would have just given it a little... One more squirt. I just want one more squirt.
I will say this. Yeah, I bet you do. I would say this, that I would have hoped... Or let's just say this. He should do makeup for other people because whatever makeup he put on was able to survive a lot of scrubbing.
Yeah.
He did not. He was barely affected by clearing that out.
Yeah, he put his face in the sink full of water and he was completely fine.
Oh, yeah, we got that amazing sink point of view shot. Ooh.
It's like Breaking Bad all over again with those special POVs.
You know, that shot of after... Fett punched through the wall with the brick. I thought it was pretty great. I enjoyed that.
Did you believe it, though?
Spoiler alert.
Did you believe that Fett, in his anger, could knock a brick out of a wall?
If it's really been, you know, bricked up for years and years and years.
Wait,
and
before we get
brittle,
to that, let me just say this, that, you know, watching one of these shows with Bubba sometimes is like you just want him to say all the time, spoiler alert. Because he, again, knew that they were on a different stairway, which you could have guessed, but, so again, spoiler alert.
No, it was
Bubba.
the same stairway,
but it was bricked off.
But it was bricked.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, so Fett has been smarter. He's brought some dynamite. He blows up.
He brings dynamite
Fett.
Everywhere.
Sexy Fett.
Hashtag sexy Fett. Yeah. Brings dynamite. He blows it up. And then they race up the stairs as she's getting dragged up by one foot. You know, at a certain point, poor man's Christoph Waltz, just eat her. I mean, why do you have to eat her at your place? You know, why do you have to get her to the dinner table?
He wants to play with his food.
No. Listen to me.
He doesn't have the pineapple with him in that suit. He's not going to stuff a bunch of pineapple in his pockets and run up and down.
You're assuming he has knowledge that we don't have because he has absolutely zero fear. He thinks he has all the time in the world. He's got nothing planned till tomorrow. This is his entire night. You want him to rush through it?
Well, no. He must have heard the explosion. He must have heard these people running after him.
Okay, again, you're trying to use logic.
All right. So how about this?
Touche.
How about this? So there he goes. He sees the infamous silver grenade, and he leaves his prey behind, and he runs theoretically down the exact same stairwell that they were in out into the subway.
This was the one problem I had, because I could still see him when he was lit up by the flash of the silver grenade. Presumably, if you could see him with the silver grenade, should that not have
gotten him silver?
Taken him completely out if he was anywhere in that area?
Seems like it. But maybe that's just how good the makeup job was.
the makeup, silver repellent makeup, really helps. So somehow, some way, it drives me absolutely batty. Despite Dutch being taken to poor man's Christoph Waltz, padded lair of doom, everybody's just back where they started. Listeners, I want to know from you, who was watching Zach 2.0 during this point? Is it pregnant Nikki? Who is watching Zach 2.0? Of course, that doesn't matter. Nothing matters, except there's one episode left.
Until
before the finale.
All right, so we've got it. guys, theoretically, something has to happen. Something meaningful, lasting, not like you're going to be captured and then freed in the next episode. Something meaningful has to happen. We keep making predictions.
We don't have that many. We don't have that many main cast members. We can't be losing these guys left and right. They want to milk this show for at least another 3 years. They want to get 5 years out of this show.
Okay, but what is everybody's goal anymore? Like, F wanted to kill Palmer. I'm going to assume his epic fail is going to have him not want to... I mean, I don't know what to say. Well, I know what I want. I want something meaningful. Even if it's the bad guys win because the bad guys have to keep winning or the show's over. But I want something meaningful. I want, like... this season to have had a point. Right now, it doesn't feel like it's had much.
One small way that I'm a little bit frustrated is that we now have almost five different groups that really can go up against the Master.
List them.
We got the Ancient Ones.
We got
Quinlan Strabone.
Okay, but the Ancient Ones are using Quinlan Strabone. They're not going out there themselves.
They don't seem
He's
to be...
He's their agent.
Yeah, they don't seem to
they're,
be...
They're stuck where they are. They have to use agents to do that. So they're part of the same group.
Okay, all right. So that's one. We got Marlo, who I actually believe is still... We're still in the world of The Wire. And he just moved up by 95 to the city.
Love it.
Yeah, thank you. Brother Moselle will also be appearing next week. So we got Marlo. We have Gus, Silver Angel. We have our...
Okay, but Gus and Silver Angel are with Strabone.
Yeah, but
we haven't technically seen them do anything with Strabone. But I'm more on your side, Catfish, than I am on Mork's, where I would say it's still two teams of heroes.
We've got Councilwoman Flockerhalder.
Ferraro.
Yeah, her too.
Ferraro.
Yes.
You know, so.
Yeah, but no, she's
we have the makings.
She's just a periphery because they
she
don't.
Was
she
the
doesn't
hero.
Have the power.
She was Winston Churchill last week.
Wait, you're forgetting the most important side group of heroes. Fitzwilliam's brother.
Fitzwilliam's brother, who I have faith in. Fitzwilliam's brother is definitely coming back.
The guy is coming back.
He is coming back. Jim's first wife, Karen, who we've never met.
Hey, and don't forget, what's amazing is we haven't talked about someone who's been in the shadows training this whole time.
That is true.
Coco?
Chloe O'Malley.
Hey, guys, she's coming back. At Chloe O'Malley, follow her.
She's been training... sharpening her knives. She's out there.
A lot of the stuff that they're going to have her do on the show, when she started the show...
You seem kick-ass.
She was too young to do under California labor laws because it was too dangerous.
Right.
So now she's old enough to actually do it on screen.
So you're suggesting by the time she comes back, they'll shoot the show in California?
Well, look, she lives in California. Look, I don't want to... Let's move
just
away.
Get to your point. So there are a bunch of different groups. What do you want for these final two episodes, Mork?
I think they should meet up at some sort of AA meeting.
AA, sure thing. AA stands for?
Always antagonistically listening.
Right, or alcoholic a-hole F.
Well, we seem to have, here's the thing that people don't seem to be, I think we've got the three main groups, and that is, one is our main group of heroes,
all right.
Two is Strabone and Gus, and three is Cetrachian, who always is going off on his own and doesn't want to share... He could be the bridge between these two groups, but he doesn't want to share any effing information about himself whatsoever.
All right, I've got another possible idea for a rival to the Master.
I hope it rhymes with Mo.
It sort of does. It'd be Coco and Palmer.
Heck yeah, I'm Team Coco. Let's do this.
All right, I think we did it.
All right, so two episodes left. Obviously,
this season,
we've been very...
This season, guys,
we've
don't
been
feel bad. There's
snarky
plenty more.
And self...
Satisfied.
Self-satisfied with our own... trust me, we are not satisfied. We are not satisfied at all with the show, with ourselves. We want...
I have to say the most entertainment I got all night was watching you literally mentally disintegrate during the podcast.
Yeah. No, it was nice.
That was...
Do it more.
Everyone's favorite moment. All right, so once again... It's important. Guys, we are really only doing this for you. Obviously, we are tough on the show because we want it to be great. These flashes of goodness in these episodes, it's not enough. We also need you guys to give us iTunes reviews, to go to our Facebook page and like the Facebook page, and to tweet at us. How could people tweet at you, Mork?
Extraordinary. Extraordinary with a W in front of the last R.
They can hit Catfish up at CJGman67.
And you can reach me, Bubba, at Fit and Trim. That's FitNTrim at Fit and Trim on Twitter. Just 33 away from 500. You know, guys, the Emmys were tonight.
Sure.
And so
they sure
I want to end on a positive note.
Let's do it.
What Emmy award do you think the show could be nominated for? And I would say, these tongue worms, every time you see one, anytime you see the eyes click on the Sturgoy, that's special effects. And I don't usually attack the show for poor special effects. I attack it for poor writing. So I could see it winning some awards.
Sure.
For special effects. There are a lot of good people working on this show. And so I would
amazing
say
people.
It's currently at that level in the Emmy, and we just want it to get better. How about you, Mark? Anything that you think it could win an Emmy or be nominated in an Emmy for?
Well, I think I actually think that a lot of performances are pretty good, and if they gave one actor an opportunity to actually be a lead actor, I think that that person could get recognized.
How about you, Catfish?
Well, considering the other shows that are in this category, I think that The
well,
Strain
look,
could...
Parks and Rec is gone.
Right.
Madness
is gone.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Considering the other shows in this category, I think The Strain could be in contention for comedy.
Hey, now.
Be nice.
Oh, snarky and self-satisfied Catfish.
Transparent is a comedy.
Oh, brother.
They have Girls is a comedy.
All right, okay.
House of Lies is a comedy.
Hey.
Shameless is a comedy.
I am often, I am.
Yeah, more?
Nothing, let's just move on.
All right, so folks, I'm not sure this has been a great episode of The Strain. I'm not sure it's been a good, great episode of Got Your Milk, but trust me, we are coming every week for you. We are going to nail these last 2 weeks. We are going to friggin' Akito Lumen
up. It's going to be like Gus and Anya up against her hope
bruh,
chest.
Hey, bruh, this is going to be the greatest final two episodes ever of
Got Your Milk!
Emmy Edition.